Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
7:02 on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game. It's the morning shift with Mike, Bo, Ally Mac, and Dylan. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. And the countdown is on for the morning shift to hit the road down to Echo Park Speedway. Today is move-in day. Bo, how are you feeling about being away from Pork Chop for a few days? Because this is the first time, isn't it?
Yeah. We were away for like a couple hours at Metallica. Like, yeah. I'm gonna say a couple hours, like overnight. We got our first thing in the morning. But yeah, it's, I don't know. I mix feelings.
Yeah.
I'm excited because this is one of my favorite things to do. I've been doing this. I say doing this like going NASCAR races in either standing in a camper or just going all the way back since like 2005 or 2006. Like as far as being able to go and enjoy them, you know, and everything. But then again, you know, there's little things that I have gotten to enjoy about having a kid, like just, you know, watching her experience new things. And also, like, I don't know why, but bath time is fun because the reactions of like, just, I just take a cup and we just sprinkle or just sometimes pour water on her, you're rinsing out, and just like the faces and the reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, having to like raise the, like, you talk about dead weight. A baby's head is like dead weight. And you're trying to like get underneath the neck to make sure you can clean, you know, cause some formula spills.
Gotta
and
get
like
the rolls.
And like her head just kind of like
bobs around.
Kind of bobs, but like a very heavy bobblehead.
Yeah.
So I'm going to miss those types of things. Yeah. But you know what? I'll be back first thing Sunday morning and get to hang out with her for the rest of the day. So, yeah, I'm excited, but I'm a little bit somber about it, not going
to
lie.
When are the both of you going to start bringing your kids to these races?
He's almost there.
Yeah.
I'm probably a year away. Yeah,
okay.
I was thinking about it, especially with as good as the setup we'll have this weekend. And, you know, there was kids all around us during February riding their bikes and just having fun. And, of course, there's so many good deals for kids as far as tickets go down at Echo Park Speedway. And if you haven't checked those out, you need to, because it is not very expensive to take your kid to a race down there. And they do a good job of making sure families can be involved with everything going on. So, yeah, he's on the cusp. He's close.
From the hookup I've heard we got from Campers Inn this year, it would be like very family friendly. The non-family friendly part is most of the people that we're bringing with
us. Yeah, I was gonna say to scale that back a little bit,
but yeah, very family friendly. And I'm just not sure if Pork Chop, maybe she will. I don't know if she's gonna be. Right now her favorite thing is Bluey and the turtles on the like the aquarium view on YouTube, where it's just noises and like sea animals going by. She likes that.
I love it. Well, we will be broadcasting live from the infield tomorrow morning at Echo Park Speedway. On top of that, Saturday afternoon before the race, we've got a special morning shift in the afternoon. 4 o'clock, we're going to get you race ready. But last night, guys, the NBA draft went down and Asa Newell really doesn't have to pack his bags and really go anywhere because he is a Georgia Bulldog. Hawks picked Asa at 23, and Ansi Saleh said Asa is an incredible competitor.
Yeah, he plays hard as hell. Like, if you guys have watched him this year, like, Asa is just an unbelievable competitor. If you watch him play or get up and down the court, screening, his intelligence, spacing, respacing, like, the things that he does impacts winning. Like, people could just look at scoring and box score, stuff like that. But the guy, he really helps with winning and creating a culture of winning for your programs.
Look, I think it's funny that we've complained in this city for years about we don't ever get any Georgia players and the Hawks and the Falcons.
Here we
are. Like, what's that? Okay. All right.
Ask and you shall receive.
Guess what we're going to do? We're going to make trades and get Georgia players and make everyone happy. Saleh has done in his short time of doing stuff. You look, Mike, I have said this since the Porzingis trade, because this is when it hit me with how everything went. The more I dug into it, the way it's structured, this is a hit it or quit it year, so to speak. Yeah, I know. Odd wow. reference.
I won't even don a pause.
But
that.
Let me explain.
I will.
Pause. If the Hawks hit it, as in get in the playoffs with what they are doing this year, then you're going to see probably maybe Porzingis try to be re-up. Maybe Trey, you'll go ahead and give that bigger deal to. And I'm saying like hit it like three seed, right? Not a play-in crap. And if Porzingis has to stay healthy, there's probably more moves to come veteran-wise that would be short, that would look be looked at as short-term moves. Because now you have Asa, you have Jalen Johnson, who's young and on a contract. You have Onyeka. You'll probably re-up Dyson. Who am I missing? Anybody? Oh, yeah, Reese Shea.
I was going to say.
Your first-round pick, the number one overall pick from last year. So you have a young core, and you could basically unload after this season about $70 to $80 million in veterans and go add different veterans or a veteran. And you have two first-round picks next year after this move, one of which is unprotected, could be literally a top-five pick, depending on how the lottery plays out.
Yeah, I agree with you in all aspects of that. I think it is interesting, too, to start looking a year in advance because I think you have a point. And I think a lot of people, the conversation around Trae Young has always been that there might be a ceiling on what he's able to do in Atlanta, right? Like with a smaller stature guard like that, you know, Steph Curry's his own animal. He's not shooting like Steph Curry. He's not doing some of the other things. And it's like, what's the ceiling? And I feel like the Hawks and Ansi Salehe have been like, all right, let's figure out what the ceiling is. Let's go all in for a year. Let's first of all reestablish what we think of in terms of spending money here. Let's go all in for a year and let's figure out what the ceiling is. If we hit the ceiling and we figure out there is a ceiling on what Trae Young can do here, then I think that's a conversation that will be had in the near future.
Yeah, and as far as what Ansi Salehe has done in his short amount of time here as the Hawks GM, like Bo, I absolutely love it because he has given you flexibility and he has also given you really quickly giving you an opportunity to win now and win in the future, the way he sets yourself up. And Bo talked about it, kind of how you have a two-way street. So I absolutely love what they've done. And look, I think that this team, if, again, they can stay healthy, and we'll see what other moves they make as well, because I do think some more bigger moves are coming. This is going to be one of the best teams, hopefully, that Trae Young has ever had. Maybe it could be the best team Trae Young has ever had as far as the supporting cast. And it's already starting to look like he's going to have one of the better supporting casts that he's had during his time here in Atlanta. So, yeah, just like Bo said, it's probably going to be put up or shut up time for this Trae Young era of Hawks basketball.
There's a lot of players. Look, I don't want to. This is really a bad comparison, but I remember when LeBron James took Delonte West to the finals, and a bunch of other guys that we don't even know the names of. The
only reason Daniel Booby Gibson. I remember
the only
him.
Reason we know Delonte West. I do remember Booby Gibson. I still remember he's on that team. But the only reason we remember Delonte West is because of what the rumors were about LeBron's mama and him. And I mean, that's real. Go back and research it. LeBron's different, and that is the thing that you get into. You get in these conversations, can a small-statured player that doesn't play great, better, but not great defense, win in this league? And there is no – Steph's even – but Steph's bigger than Trae.
Yeah.
And Steph's the greatest shooter possibly of all time. So that's not even a fair comparison. And he had – look, he had another good shooter around him, but – at some point, what year is this about to be? This is year 8 or year 9 of the Trae Young experience.
This will be 8 coming up.
Yeah, okay. 8. After 8 years, I think we'll know what we have.
Yeah.
And he does have probably the best player on paper that's going to be around him if he can stay healthy and you hope. But you can't just keep – you can't – I guess my point is I don't think you can afford to pay him a supermax contract and say, we hope – this works now.
No, I agree.
And I'm not knocking him.
That's exactly what they are trying to figure out right now. And that's why they've made the moves. I think it's such a good point. That's why they make the moves that they've made here in the last 36 hours. On the flip side of this too, the New Orleans Pelicans, they have to hate the Atlanta Hawks at this point. Not only did you fleece them in the Dyson Daniels DeJounte Murray trade, but then you hired a month ago, you hire away their GM, and then that guy flips around and makes them a laughing stock in the NBA by the trade that they made yesterday. It's just, it's crazy what's going on with that whole situation. They have, when it feels like Ansi Saleh has a plan and an outlook for the next few years, I have no idea what's going on down in New Orleans right now.
Yeah, and look, it's not going to be Derek Queen versus Asa Noel. It's going to be Derek Queen versus Noel and whoever they get that other pick. That's where it'd be. Just like it was never Trey versus Luka. It was Trey versus Luka and
Cam Reddish.
Cam Reddish, who looks like everybody lost that. Right now, nobody's really won that trade. Right. You could say Atlanta has because they still have Trey. But they didn't make it to a final. Anyways, that's a whole nother conversation. But the thing I come back to, and Mike, what is my saying about GMs and owners and coaches? If you listen, they'll tell you.
Yeah.
And their words always come. These guys might lie about like the little things, like, oh, we're not, that was our guy.
Yeah.
But they're true of the big things they say. And this owner has been very upfront. And Tony Ressler about, I will spend in the luxury tax if we have a chance to win and like win a finals. He's not going to sign Trey to his supermax deal if he thinks it's not.
If he thinks there's a ceiling,
yeah,
yeah. If he can't get through the ceiling,
right now the ceiling, other than the 1 year where you had a run in the East, which looks like an anomaly right now. Right now, the ceiling is play it first round.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, I think it's just it's so interesting to look at everything else going on with this team, and you know, like Dylan mentioned a minute ago, probably not done making moves. We'll see what happens and how they surround Trey. But I think the good thing is too, when you look at and this is obviously part of what you're saying. If you do have to move on, now all of a sudden you're loaded with a possible top five pick that could really help you out, and you're loaded with a ton of young talent. And the ability to kind of mold around some of the guys that you know are going to be a part of the future.
And money. You'll have money. You'll have money to go play with to add to a roster that looks young and one that you can develop. And Quinn Snyder seems to be a coach that a lot of people want, and he has developed talent in the past.
Yeah, I think another thing, too, and you talked about, if you listen close enough, they'll tell you what you need to know. Ansi Saleh was asked on Dukes and Bell yesterday, and Carl might do such a good job of trying to get answers out of him, and he's like, look, there's some things I can't talk about. They were asked about the future, Trae Young. He's like, look, obviously I can't talk about these situations. And the word he used, I'd have to go back and look, I think it was locked in with Trae Young. It wasn't, you know, the thing we've heard from the Falcons, Trae Young's a Hawk for life, you know, he's our guy, he's a superstar. It was, hey, we're locked in with Trae Young. And I was like, I am. I'm listening, man. I'm listening. And I think that's a conversation that'll be had multiple times over the course of the next year.
But what does locked in mean? I mean, they're locked in this season.
That's my point.
Yeah.
That's exactly the point I'm trying to make. Listen close enough. It's like, can't talk about it much, but we're locked in with Trae Young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But see,
okay.
To what you're saying, you hear what you want to hear.
You almost got the buzzer.
I'm too quick for you. clearly, I'm too quick for that you today because I already just destroyed you in NASCAR trivia.
Well, we know Twitter also can be a dumpster fire, but I am seeing a lot of excitement about the moves that Ansi Saleh is making. So feel free to tell us how you're feeling about our new Hawks pick, Asa Newell. We'll cover it in the wake-up call later on. That's at 8 a.m. Or go ahead and jump on Twitter at 929 Morning Shift. But coming up, that Braves-Mets game had a bit of a struggle last night, fell 7-3 to the Mets. We'll get into the nitty-gritty of it next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app. Quicker than you would get.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Again.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We are the morning shift. You've got Mike here, Bo, Allie Mack, and Dylan behind the glass. Guys, I think it's going to be another hot one today. Maybe not as hot as yesterday. My dash definitely said 102 in the middle of the afternoon. Did you guys step outside at all yesterday?
It was absolutely brutal.
Yeah.
Absolutely brutal yesterday. There is relief on the way. It's going to be, the temperature is supposed to cool off 7 or 8, maybe 9 degrees for the race this weekend. So that's going to be nice.
And today's going to be 6 degrees cooler.
Yeah, there you go.
Today it's only 90. It was supposed to be, it was 96 at one point yesterday. Oof. We have a puppy door, dog door, mm-hmm. but the dog refuses to use. So I have to crack open the back door, and sometimes I'll forget when she comes back in to close it. And mm-hmm. yesterday according to Mike, it's like I don't have the Nest. I have the Echo Bee.
Mm-hmm.
Mike thinks that's, you know, not good enough. He ripped on it last time we talked about this on the air, but I have the Echo Bee and it alerts me. It's on my, and it gave me an alert. He goes, something might be wrong with your unit.
Oh.
And so literally I'm like, I'm going out of town tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like I say out of town. So I go outside and I'm checking the coils, you know, to make sure they haven't frozen over. Cause you know how sometimes when your air will run over and over again, it'll freeze up. And it's a newer unit. And I'm like, oh crap. And so I go, that door's still up. So I close the door. And then I go, oh, why are all these blinds open? So I close every blind in the house, turn on every ceiling fan. And this is like at 7:30 last night.
Yeah.
And then it started to go down after like an hour and a half. But to your point, yeah, it was so hot outside yesterday. I panicked a little bit with my air in my unit because Reliable came in, you know, when who works with Carl, you know, Carl endorses Reliable, and they came in a couple years ago, like during the pandemic, and fixed mine. And you don't want it going out during a heat wave.
It happened to my neighbor across the street yesterday.
Oh,
I was pulling
no.
out of my drive. I was no. pulling out of my driveway, and I was like, man, he's got a worker truck in his driveway. Yep, air conditioning company.
Oh,
I was like, oh no, dude. And it happened to me last year, remember?
Yeah.
I had to replace my entire system.
No, that
last
wasn't
summer.
Even last year. That was
it?
That was
thought it was last
that was 23.
Year.
I remember
was
driving
not
to training camp. Mike's like, yeah, just drop Ridge's inheritance on redoing my entire
dude,
system.
It was brutal. They were like, we need to because it was like, I don't know, it was very old.
Yeah,
let's just
yeah.
put it that way. And we needed to redo a bunch of it. But yeah, yesterday working in the bathroom, we gotta get a braze. We're in the bathroom. The shower that we were redoing, the bathtub that we're redoing, is in the corner of the house, like the exterior.
Mm-hmm.
And we were redoing the insulation behind, you know, the sheetrock and stuff. So when we pulled that insulation off in the middle of the day, and that room got to about 120 very quickly.
Oh.
And I was like, this is urgent. This is urgent. Help me. Get me out of here. It's a sauna.
It is just gross at
awful.
That point. Now, I know in New York, they were complaining about the heat when they opened up the Mets-Braves season, but try Atlanta. Last night, though, Braves lost 7-3. Didier Fuentes, unfortunately, had a rough outing, allowed 6 runs, 8 hits. I think we've got some mixed opinions here on Didier. On Twitter, I did see Holton B tweeted us and said Didier had great stuff, is throwing strikes. I'd much rather him throw strikes and get hit around than a little walk 4 or 5 batters and consider him terrible.
Yeah.
And then one message I got, and I want to ask you guys about this because I didn't see this, but I'm curious if you guys did. Someone messaged me and said when Alonso was on second base early in the game, he did a hop to signal a breaking ball was coming to the batter. So he doesn't know if he's tipping pitches or if Alonso was stealing signs.
Well, for a first question, Mike, would be how do you know the hop means breaking ball?
Well, I saw, yeah.
Hey, how do you know what their signs are?
That's a good point.
I saw, and you know, it could be the fact that Pete Alonso is, and if that's true, it could be the fact that he sees the grip in the glove. Maybe
yeah.
Didier Fuentes is not closing the
that.
Glove. He did. I went back and looked at it. It is a very unique secondary lead, which is what you call it when they hop off, and you know, they get their lead, and then as soon as he goes in the windup, it's a secondary lead. It felt unique. I don't know whether or not he was tipping pitches or not, but I could see where you would look at Pete Alonso and what he's doing. And I don't know if he just looks goofy because he's goofy, mm-hmm. or if it looks goofy because he's trying to tip a pitch and he can see the grip right before the delivery. I don't even know if – I think it was McNeil at the plate at that point. I don't even know if he's quick enough to even see the hop and the pitch all at the same time and actually react to it. But it would – I guess I'll finish that conversation by saying it would make a lot of sense to me because just like you were saying, Holton says on Twitter, his stuff is great.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time you're watching his start, you're going, Dude, his movement's great. His velocity's great. I mean, the location could be better on some of the stuff, but they are absolutely tattooing him, and especially once they get runners on base. So
the home run Soto hit in the third, I believe it was.
Yeah, no runners on, right?
Yeah, it was pretty sure it was leadoff.
Might have been the first pitch of the inning.
It was. It wasn't. I know it wasn't the first pitch. It was a fastball high and outside. He went and got it a little bit. It was not. What I mean by it wasn't too far out, but it wasn't in middle of the plate. It wasn't a meat pitch. It wasn't a meatball. And then the next batter, if I'm not mistaken, goes. I want to say what to left field that double, and it just kind of felt like we might have a problem. I don't know if he's tipping pitches or not, because I mean he didn't tip the pitch to Soto,
right?
That wasn't a tip pitch. So it's interesting because it brings up a good thought process. But in order to know it, like, I guess that's why I go back to that question. Well, how do you know what their sign is that they know what pitch is coming? Because you don't. It might have been interesting leadoff. That's great. But we get into the weeds here. The guy making his second start against what we need to remember is a really, really freaking good lineup. McNeil, Soto, Lindor, Alonso, Beatty. We're not just naming like bums. And those guys are good players. So slump or not, they've still and we forget the Braves have beat them five straight coming into last night. But they've scored runs off the Braves. The first game they were up 4-1. Mm-hmm. The very first game we played them this year, up 4-1, the Braves come back. And then yes, Sell and Strider shut them down, but and Schwellenbach did a good job the last outing, but just the night before, you had to score what? Seven? I think you had to score seven to beat them. And they were up 3-0 at one point in that game. So it kind of happens, and it's a young pitcher. He makes mistakes. Maybe they saw his first start. They saw something out of that. I don't know.
Yeah, I was just going to say the fact that it is his second start, and he is so young, that you could see them watching film and you know, kind of highlighting something and be like, you know what, I think we can get this. I'll have to go back and look at, you know, the angle of his glove when he's in a stretch when you get runners on and you know, if there is something to that. I do want to highlight two different things, though, in this conversation about the Braves last night. First of all, Michael Harris robs a home run in the eighth. Great. He also grounds out four times and sees eight pitches. It's just, it's brutal at this point. And it's almost, it actually has a lot of the same conversation that we had earlier about Didier Fuentes and whether or not he deserves another start. You felt like there was a better option, that you would probably make moves, you know, based on that. Mm-hmm. I don't know that there is a better option. I know that everybody looks at the Profar returning in left field, maybe Eli White getting time or splitting time with Michael Harris. I don't know what that is. I just know that it was bad to watch last night. And it's highlighted, and it continues to be highlighted by the fact that he robs a home run in the eighth inning, and it's incredible. And that's just the story of what Michael Harris has been this season.
Yeah. I thought Charlie Culberson, who's on this yesterday and works for, you know, this former Brave and does the FanDuel stuff, said it perfectly. Maybe just a day off, man. Sometimes a day off is just great. The tough part is it's tough to give a guy like Michael Harris a full day off. Even if I said, you know what, Mike, you're good. And then it's a 3-2 game going into the ninth. And I've got and maybe Dylan Lee's not available or whatever. Maybe, you know what? I don't care. I need my best defense out there. And I move Eli to left and I put Michael Harris in center because back where he should be, because I want my best defense out there. It's just hard to do with the depth. And it's what – go back to – you can tell me all you want that, well, Alex said money wasn't an issue. Yeah, and then in the same breath, he said, where money affects us is depth. And that's where this Braves team has been destroyed the last 2 years, is depth. The Profar – starting out the year without Acuna, and then the Profar suspension, and then Arcia losing his way.
Mm-hmm.
Your depth has been so tested, and that's why you're not trading Sean Murphy, because you need depth. And whether you like it or not, at the plate, the depth is there defensively.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And you know, when you talk about affordability in terms of depth too, and I brought it up earlier, guys, Griffin Koenig will start against the Braves tonight. He's having a pretty good year, and he was brought over in that salary dump that was Jorge Soler when you got rid of Jorge Soler at the end of last season. And they just essentially got Griffin Canning here. And when they were like, you know what, man, he's worth like $5 million in arbitration. You're not worth the $5 million. We're just going to move on. They just let him go. And he's going to be starting for the Mets tonight. So get back game incoming, obviously, for Griffin Canning. And then you remember, it's not that he has any sour feelings. He was probably happy to have it happen. But I will say, as we look towards tonight, I thought it was huge at the end of the game last night in the ninth inning. You really felt like you were, you know, outside of swinging distance when it comes to a comeback. But you did force them to bring in Edwin Diaz last night. And if there is ever a just small blip at the end of the game to be able to look into, that was probably big in terms of what you feel like could be on the line tonight. Because both these teams seemingly are emptying their staffs right now. They are putting it all on the line, bringing in their best relievers time and time again. Felt like the Braves did that last night as well. Bringing in Bummer, obviously, to be kind of long relief, which you haven't seen him in that role that much. So I thought that was big right there at the end of the game to be able to force Edwin Diaz to come on the field.
I know we got to go to break, but real quick, before you started this Mets series, you were like 14 and a half games out of the division. Now you're 9.5. The division, I still don't care about. You were like 10 or 11 games out of the wild card. Mm-hmm. Now you're 6.5. You're 5-3. No. You're 6-3, excuse me, in your first 9 games of a 13-game stretch against the NL East. Take 3 or 4 today, and then find a just claw someone's eyes out to get 2 or 3 from the Phillies, and you are looking at a very good place to start off July for where you've been and where you started June.
Yeah, we will close up this series against the Mets tonight. Have a chance to split it, or we could take it. Grant Holmes is pitching for us. But coming up, I think we were all wondering when this guy would finally be tapped for the Home Run Derby. We're going to cover our All-Star next, and we've got him mic'd up.
Got him mic'd up. Listen, I don't know how much you guys out there pay attention to fashion, if at all. Me, not very much, but yesterday something happened. I felt targeted, and I want to get it off my chest and see if you guys feel the same way.
That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift with Mike, Bo, Ali Mack, and Dylan at 7:42. This hour has been brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We are about to get to our well-deserving all-star, but I do want to open up the Didier conversation just for a second.
Okay.
Because I looked ahead, and the next time he would be up in the rotation would be against the Angels at Truist. Could that be the perfect situation to get him a little bit more acclimated?
Man. Yeah, I want to say yes, but I don't know. The way I feel about him right now, I don't know that any situation is good to get him acclimated. And I do think that this conversation steers back to what we were talking about, whether or not he's tipping pitches. If they can look into that and figure out a fix for it, then maybe there is, you know, the opportunity there for him to make another start. And because I think we both agree on that his stuff is great. Like you look at the movement and you know and what he, and the velocity and everything else, his stuff is good. It just seems like he's not getting he's not missing many bats, not getting anybody off balance.
Yeah, probably some of that's location. Send him back out. What are we doing? What else do we have? Hurston Waltrip, I like, but that's about the only other guy that I can think of. I don't know the Braves. I don't study the Braves farm system. I'm not an insider. I don't cover the team on a daily basis, and I don't know their whole farm system. I don't know who you would go down and get. I know that there's got to be one person I'm missing down there that's pitching that I just can't think of. But I'm going to tell you, his stuff is good enough. I would rather send him, and half the Braves fan base would tell you that they think that the Angels are a Triple-A team anyways. Now, Mike Trout does play there, and so does Travis Little D Darno. But why not run him out there? Why
you
not?
You brought up Giancarlo Lara, remember, a while back?
But I always thought he was a reliever. I mean,
I'm assuming he probably is because he is a flamethrower, and usually most of the time those guys are relievers. But, I mean, there's just Looking at the list right now, obviously the number one prospect in the organization is Cam Caminiti, but you're not going to do that. He's in single-A ball, and he ain't close to being ready. But Hurston Waldrop is the number two prospect in the Braves organization, and he is over in Gwinnett. So there's always the opportunity for that to happen. Drew Hackenberg is another guy who is currently in double-A, but again, you know, the Braves double-A is nearby as well. So I don't know, man. I don't know where they turn at this point. I think that's the best thing in Didier Fuentes' favor when it comes to his long-term outlook this season is that you do feel like there is a drop-off after him. But, again, we didn't talk about Didier Fuentes before 8 days ago, and there's always another arm out there if the Braves feel like making a move.
There wasn't an average fan in the Braves country that knew who Spencer Schwellenbach was before he got called up last year, okay? Because the manager didn't even know who the hell he was. So if you did, that means you truly love assets and farm systems and you study them, and that's not knocking you. But let's be real. So I just think that there's something to be said about letting guys grow up, and the back and forth bus to Gwinnett is not what they need to do with him. They don't have many other options. If they truly thought Hurston Waldrop was ready, why did then they'd have brought him up and not Fuentes? They'd have said, no, give me some more time. But they didn't. And I'm not sure what in 10 days has changed between Fuentes and Waltrip that you go, know what? You're not ready, but we think you are now.
Mm-hmm.
So you go ahead and go.
Mm-hmm.
And then what are they going to do? If he blows up, you're going to send him down, bring Fuentes, because you got to have a fifth starter. And there's nobody out there you're trading for right now. It's just not, we're not there yet. Maybe you could sweet talk the Marlins into giving up nothing for Alcantara, but
I don't think that's going to happen.
Exactly, that's my point. Just trade up.
But I feel like you're kind of making my point as well when you're like nobody knew who Spencer Schwellenbach was before he came up.
Well, you just said
that's kind of where we're at.
You just said we didn't know who Fuentes was really. We weren't talking about him.
Yeah.
And I agree with you.
Yeah.
But the point is that you also allowed Schwellenbach, because of the situation, to mature and grow. And the offense wasn't – the team wasn't in a great spot last year when Schwellenbach came up. The offense wasn't breaking records when Schwellenbach came up. I remember vividly he having one of his best starts. I think it was like his third start of the year. And the team was playing so poorly that Matt Olson makes a just terrible play, a decision is what it was, to throw home. And it cost him two more runs, and he was having one of his better outings. Mm-hmm. So I just don't think we know that the third time he puts it together. And it is a feebled lineup that you bring up. It's not a great lineup, but it's also not a terrible lineup. Mm-hmm. And the Angels I say roll him back out. I don't know why we're going to give up so quickly when there's no clear option. I think if there was somebody else there, Mike, I would say yeah, do it, because I don't disagree with what your sentiment you're throwing out, but. Just don't think this is it.
It will be interesting to see what happens. Now, I got a notification on my phone yesterday, and it was like, well, duh. But also extremely exciting to see that Ronald Acuna Jr. has committed to the Home Run Derby during All-Star Week right here in Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm stoked about that. And that's one of my favorite events every year, to watch the Home Run Derby. Always has been. Ever since going back to when I was a little kid, it was appointment television. Obviously, still remains that for me. And seeing Ronald Acuna Jr. be part of that, there's going to be some Braves fans that point out a downside of changing your swing and how some people have slumped in second halves because of, you know, what you're asked to do in the Home Run Derby. I don't look at Ronald Acuna as being a guy that's going to suffer from that, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I'm that aside, I always get nervous for my guy. Like, hey man, don't go hit like just five though and get eliminated in the first round. Like, you got to go on a tear. Like, you telling me. I'm not the only one, right? Like, y'all, when you have a guy that, like, from your team that goes at home run, you always want to be like, don't lose in the first round, or don't get embarrassed. Like, go hit him, because it's so different. You have to have the right guy throw into you. That's why Alonzo won so many years in a row. Is he had his, I think it was like his high school coach or something throwing to him, or maybe it was even his dad. I don't know, but I remember it was someone close to him.
Yeah,
and they knew exactly where to place the ball. They knew what he wanted, and then. We never talk about the pressure on the guy throwing to you.
I know.
Because you have to put it right where you're, you know, And that gets tough. I'm excited, though, to watch him. It gives me a reason, a real reason to watch the Home Run Derby, other than just, I hope Pete Alonso loses.
Yeah. And the fact that it's obviously in here, Atlanta, you want somebody to be able to represent this team, and you figure they're going to, you know, have somebody to be able to do that. I think it's cool. I mean, look, there's been times where I always go back to the Dan Uggla game. You remember Dan Uggla when he was with the Marlins was an all-star, and he was insanely good in the first half of the season. Plays in the all-star game. I think he commits three errors at second base, and his career was never the same. Like, It was never the same the way he panned out after the errors that he got with that one. So
yeah, I remember looking back on that Uggla thing and people being like, that was when we should have known Frank Wren was not it. Like, they fleeced us. Like, the Marlins outsmarted us. Yeah, they knew what we didn't.
Yeah, that's not good. All right, let's hit it. And just a reminder before we get to a possible fashion faux pas that today's Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. So, obviously, I'm 38 years old. You kind of come to a crosshairs, and Dylan's kind of venturing there right now. Dylan, what would you say? You're 29 years old. How much would you say you pay attention to your fashion choices? Like, you're trying to be fashionable?
Only when I am going to, like, a function or an event. Like, that's the only time I actually really care. Like, coming here, honestly, I don't care.
Well, I was going to say, it's different for us. We wake up so early, and we're able to get in here. It's like, let's just be comfortable in the morning, right? And so
But even if, like, I'm just going to the grocery store to answer your question or something like that, obviously I want to look somewhat presentable, but at the end of the day, I don't really care.
So we spent a little bit of time earlier this week talking about, and honestly, a couple times a week, we did viral videos for Top 5 Tuesday, did the viral, fireman carry my wife attempted to do with me on, what was that, Monday?
Right.
Did not go well. Something else has happened that has brought up in my algorithm. And yesterday, I don't know if you guys have paid attention to this viral sensation thing where these females will say, he's a 10, but, mm-hmm. or they'll put, he's a 10, but. Yesterday, I was just scrolling through videos a little bit, taking a time out from the DIY project in the bathroom. And this the topic was.
Hold on. You were in the bathroom taking a time out from the DIY project, or it is the bathroom. That's the DIY project.
No, the bathroom is the DIY. No, first of all, there's no toilet in that bathroom right now. I can tell you that.
Made it sound, I was like, you need to clarify.
So I'm watching these videos yesterday, and it pops up, he's a 10 butt. He's a 10 butt. And the topic for this one video was, he's a 10 butt. He wears ankle socks. I never felt so attacked.
What's wrong with ankle? I got ankle socks on right now.
100%.
I mean,
I don't have them on right now. I've never felt so attacked. And the answers from the girls in this video, 3. He's a 10, but he wears ankle socks. He's a 3. He's a 10, but he wears ankle socks. 4. I'm like, dude, what?
Damn, I didn't have that many points to lose. So.
I was like, what's going on? I don't understand, Dylan.
It's simple. It really is. Ankle socks are just not in right now.
They're out. How long have they been out, man? How long have I been doing?
They've been out for some years, man.
No,
they've been out for at least 3 years.
At least 3 years. Hard disagree.
Now, okay,
some people can pull them off. But hold on, I disagree because I've got a subscription for a golf subscription, and they send me ankle socks. So I disagree that they're out.
Well, but consider the demo on that.
I was about to say. Yeah, you're not the demo fan.
Dylan's not subscribing to a golf sock service.
You're one of the guys.
It's not for socks. It's for everything. It's for the whole outfit.
And again, the conversation circles back to, at what point in your life do you stop paying attention to fashion at all? Because I think mostly in your 20s, you're like, look, when I go out, I'd like to be fashionable. I'm at that point where I'm 38 and I'm like, dude, I'm not there anymore. And I know that, what are you, 42 now? 42? Okay, so yeah. Bo's definitely not paying attention to fashion.
So the thing is when you wear pants, it doesn't really matter as much, but you're wearing crew socks. And when now us hip people, when we wear shorts, you still wear crew socks.
Don't call yourself now, hip. You wear some of the ugliest Nike wannabe slider croc things I've ever seen in my entire life.
You think they're ugly, but they're fashionable.
They are fashionable.
They're not fashionable.
Yes, they are.
I told Dylan this morning that's exactly what my niece wears.
How old is your niece?
A lot of high school kids wear Crocs, too.
She is 18.
Oh, so you dress like an 18-year-old.
Hey,
that doesn't make you hip.
Allie, I want to bring you in on this as well. I mean, would you tell Grant, hey, like, You can't wear those ankle socks.
He can wear whatever he wants. I'm more so
You don't
concerned.
Ever help him along? You don't ever be like, does he ever be like, hey, what do you think of this shirt?
No, listen, Grant has great style. Have you seen his shoe collection?
What like, a stamp of approval.
He truly has great style, and everything he wears is for a reason, for a purpose. It's all put together perfectly.
Wow.
I'm the nice. Lesser fashionable one of the two.
What's funny is, yes, Grant overthinks everything. That's a guy agree.
My last point.
My words, not Allie's.
On the ankle socks. The only reason the ankle socks are out is because people who don't have the best style most of the time, they end up wearing the ankle socks and they just make the ankle socks look bad. Now, some people like Bo. Bo is one that I will use an example and actually give him credit. Bo wears ankle socks and he actually makes ankle socks still seem fashionable. But a lot of people that wear ankle socks, usually their fashion is
not good. There's
nothing
that he's doing this making anything. We have to go to break, but I want to end this point by saying that I think what you just said is in reverse. You're like, the ankle socks look bad because the people that wear them aren't fashionable. Mm-mm. Aren't they not fashionable because they're wearing ankle socks? Is that not?
I mean,
is this the chicken and the egg?
No, that's part of the reason, but also like if you wear ankle socks with a certain shoe, like that can make it look better.
Yeah.
So it's about how you style the ankle sock
as well.
You're
going for my New Balances right now.
I think what Dylan's saying is that if everything else is bad, the ankle socks amplify it.
Exactly.
But if everything else is good, then the ankle socks aren't that bad.
Exactly.
You know what? I think we had this conversation with the wrong producer. Because I think we should have had Abe Gordon in here and asked him about style, because he is the most stylish person at this station. Especially
you need to stop
yourself.
Yeah, it's
time to go to break. It's time to go to break.
Let's keep this conversation going. Coming up next, we've got the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. Weigh in on the fashion conversation. Do you wear ankle socks? And let's get your reactions to the NBA draft. Our Hawks pick, Asa Newell. How are you feeling about that? And do you think Didier will get another start? That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.